School of Prayer, that's where we are at again this afternoon. And what we are doing is learning the proper way to pray. For many weeks, we have been talking about God-centered praying, and we are still on it anyway. So we are still on our matter of God-centered praying, and we're going to just continue from what we have been saying the last two sessions we have here and tie to what we discussed on Saturday. I said before that what we discussed on Saturday, we'll try and use it to pray, because the Word of God does one thing for you. Let me just start by explaining that. I've said it again and again, but of course you can't say these things enough. When the Word of God comes, sometimes we think that we are, of course we are supposed to obey the Word of God. If you believe that, say amen. If you believe that every word that comes from the mouth of God should bring forth obedience in your life, say amen.
Amen.
But what I keep emphasizing is that the obedience is not by power, like we say. It's not by might. It is by His Spirit. That is what is meant when they say the law came by Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. If God gives you a word, He does not expect you to obey it with your own strength. And that's what I'm emphasizing again. Anytime you hear a word, you take that word to God in what? In prayer. You do. All right? We said, read from the book of Hebrews chapter 4, that we draw near to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I've emphasized several times before that that time of need is not a time of hunger. That time of need is not referring to the time of physical need. That time of need is referring to the time that you do not have the strength in yourself to obey the word of God. That's the time of need. And if you read that story in the book of Hebrews, beginning from chapter 1 down to that chapter 4, you see that he was emphasizing on obedience. That when the word of God comes to you, be careful that you don't disobey it. When the word of God comes to you, don't let it slip away from you. He said, under the old covenant, every transgression got a just recompense of reward. That is, everyone who disobeyed the law of Moses did not receive any mercy. He now said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? He now described that salvation, how it was preached, all right? It was delivered, all right, by the Son of God, which was what he tried to bring out from the first few verses in chapter 1, that the fact that the Son is superior to angels. So he now said that this word is alive in chapter 4. Of course, chapter 3, chapter 4, he explained the fact that we need, all right, to labor to enter into his rest. And that labor is labor of obedience. He said those who did not enter into his rest, they did not enter because of what? Disobedience. Because of disobedience. So he now said the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. What he was saying is that that word works on you, all right? You are not the one that acts upon the word. The word actually acts upon you. So when you hear a word, when a word comes to you, when God says, this is what I want you to do, he said, hold on to that confession. Don't do like the world is doing right now. They tell you that if you have a feeling, if you're a man, you have a feeling for another man, it means you're a homosexual. No, it means you are being tempted of Satan into sexual perversion. That's all it means. That's what it means to hold on to the word of God. The word says, look, if your feeling disagrees with established doctrine, hold on to your feeling. Do you understand? That's what the world is trying to teach. But God says, hold on to the confession of truth that you know. That if God says this is wrong, just accept it is wrong. Then take that confession to him in prayer. Please, notice that. He said, when you get to the place of prayer, that's Hebrews chapter 4 now, you will find grace to help, all right, you understand, in the time of need. That is, there is never any excuse to disobey the word of God. That's what he was saying. Because it's not by your own strength you will obey it. It's not by your own effort. What you will do is to take that word to the place of prayer. And when you get in there, God will supply grace for obedience to you. That's what he meant when he said, draw near to the throne of grace, so you might find grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. The idea is this, no matter what your excuse, you are not allowed to disobey God. And the reason why God will not even accept any excuse from you now is that he has given you the avenue. I'm not just saying have knowledge. I'm saying take that word to God in prayer. When you get to the place of prayer, God works on you. That's what is called grace. And grace makes the word act upon you. You will find obedience. No, you see, I've read many stories in this life, all right? You find that those who obeyed God, most of the times, they just found that they obeyed God. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Do you get the point? Listen, it's afterwards they realize, how did I do that? How did I do that? What am I trying to explain? For example, they say, don't bow before. What happened? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yes, there was a golden image, a mighty image, and they said, don't bow before it. That's the commandment of God. The king said, bow. Anytime you hear that sound, bow. But they said, we are not going to bow. I can assure you of one thing. When they put you in front of fire, you will bow. Did you hear what I said? No, you didn't hear me well. If fire blows, listen, just go home, get a candle, put it in your nose. Then ask yourself, will I not bow when this thing, God will understand this thing is hot. Yeah, those guys did not bow. Why? Not because they are stronger than you, but because grace, all right, to help in the time of need was supplied to them. Let me ask you a question. How did Jesus go to the cross? Determination? If you think it's determination, say amen. Oh, you change your mind. It's in the scriptures. Angels came and did what? Strengthened him. Why are you? If Jesus can't do it, who are you? Jesus did not go to the cross with pay. Just watch. I'm a son of God. Were you not there at the Jordan that day? This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. You think it's an ordinary mouth? When God said it, he knew the kind of power that I had. So watch. No. When he saw the pain that was going to come, he ran into the garden. He came to the door of the garden. He said, wait, I'm coming. He went back into the garden. The Bible says angels came and did what? Strengthened him. If Jesus needed the strength of angels, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego needed the strength of archangels. They needed it too. And you also need it. That's what we are discussing. You also need it. If you see men in the Bible obey scripture, obey the commandment of God, my best scripture from there is Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2. He said, when he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. What's our prayer about? God-centered praying. We want to tap into that Spirit that will enter into us and set us on our feet. I keep on saying, God sent you, go and preach in Sambisa Forest. Just get up and say, I'm going to Sambisa. Look, when you hear one explosion about you, you will come back to Enugu. What you do is take that knowledge of the will of God in that area. You take it to prayer and pray until you wake up one day, you find that you have reached Sambisa Forest. For those who are listening to this who don't know what Sambisa Forest, that is the seat of Boko Haram. The Bible talked about where Satan has his throne. And that's it. That's the valley of the shadow of death. Yet, God can send somebody inside there. When he called Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah, you know what you're going to do? You're going to preach for me. Jeremiah said, you know I'm too small. God said, do not say. That is, if you use those words, you incapacitate yourself. You remove the anointing of God to help you. So what will happen? Anywhere I send you to go, you will go. Now, that was not advice, like, make sure anywhere I send you to go, you will go. Are you getting what I'm saying? We must understand how God works. What God said, anywhere I send you to go, you will go. What do you say? Amen. When you say that, the power to go will enter into you. They will say, stay. Say, no, I can't stay. That same Jeremiah, you know what happened to him later? The word brought him persecution. So you know what he did? He said, I won't preach again. He said, the word became like fire in my bones. It was not like I wanted to continue talking. If I didn't talk, the talk erupted out of me. It was the same person at the beginning. They said, go. He said, you know I'm too small. You know I can't talk. You know I'm a youth. You must understand how it is. They said, go before the most powerful men in the city or in the country and say to them, thus says the Lord, you will die. I don't know whether I get my point. That's what the kind of assignment they gave him. Go and prophesy, you will stand in the open and prophesy against the whole city. Men who don't like you, we want to kill you. And they tried that with Jeremiah. So at the point in time, Jeremiah said, this preaching is not bringing me offering. What is bringing me is what? Persecution, troubles. One day, I heard one pastor. He saw another pastor. They were talking. That one said they do four services on Sunday. He said, four services on a Sunday? You preach four services? How much is your prophet's offering? That was the question. You are preaching four services. Please, what is the prophet's offering? Jeremiah said, this one is not bringing me prophet's offering. It's bringing me prophet's beating, prophet's persecution, prophetic harassment. So he said, I won't talk again. The same man who at the beginning they said talk, he said, I can't talk. Now he made up his mind, I won't talk again. You know, God didn't say anything. The angel said, Lord, he doesn't want to talk anymore. The Lord said, let's watch it. We have put a spirit into him. He can't help but talk. So when he got home and said, I'm not talking again, then inside his stomach, the word began to bubble. He began to have bone pains, joint pains, fever. Are you getting my point? Backache. He said, what is all of these troubles? He said, it is a word inside him that wants to come out. Finally, he opened his mouth and began to prophesy. What am I saying? Obedience to God is not because of your strength. Obedience to God is that you tapped into his strength and you are obeying with his strength. It's called the Spirit entering into you and setting you up on your feet. And that's what we are doing again. On Saturday, I talked about the will of God, if you remember. I said that okay, we're talking about God-centered praying. So in this hour, God-centered praying, we're emphasizing again that our prayers are not focused on the devil. Our prayers are not focused on problems. Our prayers are not focused on our needs, our perceived needs. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? No, our prayers are not focused on those things. The prayers are focused on drawing us closer to God. And I'm saying the closer we are to God, the more those problems solve themselves automatically. Jesus said, don't take any thought for the morrow. He says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The Gentiles seek these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need these things even before you ask him. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and all and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What was he saying? If you find these things are forever not being added to you, then realize you are not seeking the kingdom of God appropriately. That's what he said. You are not seeking his righteousness appropriately. Now, listening to this man of God again today, I refer to him a lot, all right? Kenneth Hagin. He said there was a time after they left the church where he was preaching, where he was pastoring, because of the commandments of God that he came to understand. For the next, I don't know how long now, let's just say 18 months or 2 years, thereabout. He said, I wasn't scratching the bottom of the barrel. You know, the way Americans talk, that things were so rough, he was scratching the bottom of the barrel. He said, no, I wasn't scratching the bottom. The barrel was on top of me. That is, that when he needs $150, he gets $50. His car became junk. He sold the car off as junk. And only the money he got from it, he used to pay what he was owing. Not as if he got a new one. So one day he went to go and pray and said, God, this is not what is called eating the good of the land. So the Lord answered him, what did that scripture say? He said, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. He said, look, I left my church according to what I believed was the word of God to me. I was obedient. And God said to him, yes, you were obedient, but you were not willing. I don't know what I hear what I said. Thank you for that thunderous silence. That's what Andrew Mark would say. He said, the Lord said to him, you were obedient, but you were not willing. That is, if you are willing and obedient, that is, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, everything he had been doing, he thought he was doing what was right, but the other things were not being added to him. So he went to pray. And God said, listen, you were obedient, but you were not willing. Other things the Lord told him, you walk by faith for healing, you walk by faith for good health, but you don't walk by faith for finances. I'm not teaching about that now, all right? Because I have come to understand some things myself. That, actually, what I'm bringing out from it is this. He was not seeking the kingdom. He was not walking according to righteousness. So all other things were not added to him. So if you find that things are not being added to you, that's what we are teaching concerning God-centered praying. You will say, why am I not? What is going on? Where am I not seeking it? Don't think, look, you cannot, it is not allowed for you as a child of God to turn your problems to an everlasting prayer point. You know what I mean by everlasting prayer point? Every crusade you have gone there, trying to solve the same problem. Let me just tell you something quickly. You will not get any answer. Those crusades are meant for those who don't know God yet. Did you hear what I said? No, you didn't hear it. If you heard, you would have answered me yes. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
Uh-huh. It's meant for those who don't know God yet. It's almost like advertisement of the gospel. For those who have already given their lives to Christ, your miracle is not in a crusade. Do you hear what I said? No, it's not there. Your miracle is not in a crusade. It's not in any special bottle of anointing oil. No, it's not there. Look, anointing oil is good, though. I believe in it totally. Because in the scriptures, is any sick amongst you, let him call upon the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. It's in the scriptures. But listen, for the child of God, don't listen. You have a problem, it has refused to go away. Settle down and say, wait. This problem. Go over to one side first. Face the Lord and say, how have I not sought the kingdom? How am I not seeking his righteousness? Because indeed, if I seek the kingdom and seek his righteousness, listen, seeking the kingdom doesn't mean I give a seed towards planting a new branch in my church. Did you hear what I said? Sometimes people think that that's what it means to seek the kingdom. That if I give more towards the propagation of the gospel, that means I'm seeking the kingdom. That is totally not what it means to seek the kingdom. Even though those are good works. The doing of good works is not the primary thing about seeking the kingdom. The kingdom of God is first established inside you. Do you get my point? That's it. It is first established inside you. Many people, they are, listen, oh God. You know, I taught on Saturday. If you're not around, get the CD. I explained that when we talk about the will of God, the will of God is not, shall I marry Jane or marry Priscilla? That's not the matter of the will of God. The will of God is not, hey, Brother Andrew has proposed, Brother Ben has proposed, Brother Philip has proposed, Brother Banky has proposed. Which one? There may be another Banky there who's single. Now, what's the problem? There may be another Banky there that's not married. All right? The Lord is good. Some of these ones have proposed. Which one is the will of God? That's not what the will of God means. Without preaching the details about that again, the will of God simply means, before now, they told me that because I am from Anambra State, I cannot marry the brother that is from Enugu State. That is called walking out of the will of God. Are you getting my point? So which one is the will of God? There's no will of God. Andrew, Philip, what's the other name? Before Banky. Banky is the last one. There was Andrew, Ben, Philip, and Banky. None of them is the will of God. None. The one that, what is the will of God is wiping away my brain from, that is wiping the rubbish ideas planted in my mind. We read that from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It said, this is the will of God. What? Sanctification. What is sanctification? I change my ideas, I change my thought processes. The establishment of divine thought process in your life is called seeking the kingdom of God. The establishment of the knowledge of God in your life is what is called seeking the kingdom of God. Let me say to you, if you wipe away rubbish ideas from your mind, let me tell you the truth. Let me tell you the easiest. Oh God, God is giving me understanding these days. For a long time, we used to hear those days, inner witness. That's how God speaks to his children. Finally, I got the meaning of inner witness. I quarreled for a very, very long time with Christians over their inner witness problem. The reason is because I've seen inner witness that are witnessing nonsense. I've seen God spoke to me. I said, that one is not God. He said, it's God that spoke to me. I said, Nalai, this is wolf in sheep clothing that spoke to you. It's an angel of darkness disguising as an angel of light, and you don't know the difference. I've seen a lot of it. That used to be my own quarrel with people when you are talking about the issue of how does God speak to you? How do you hear? Is it inside witness, outside witness, inner witness, quiet voice of the Holy Spirit? I say, my brother, relax. I've seen my brethren do all kinds of things. A man will discuss with me today now and say, man, what I'm just thinking, man, that's how they like him, man. We're talking, he's forgotten that he told me. 6 months later, he'll come and say, as I was praying, the Holy Spirit began to say, speak to me, that I should go and talk to Sister Jane. And in your mind, you want to tell him, say, if I beat you now, you've forgotten that 6 months ago, you were telling me how every time she passes, your body would do jiggy jiggy like railway. You have forgotten. Now you want to now Christianize the whole thing. You want to look spiritual. Brother Banky, praise God, praise God. I don't know, I'm into this evangelism thing. Marriage is not even important to me, but you know, as I was praying, the Lord was just... That's why I used to quarrel. But finally, I came to understand the real inner witness. You know what the real inner witness is? I'll tell you. The first day I saw my wife, I looked, I just said, fine girl. That was my inner witness. My inner witness to her. And that was my inner witness. See, Pastor Bank, are you sure? Yes. Oh. You don't believe it? This is 15 years later. No, 16 years later, actually. 16 and a half years later. Because I knew her for a little over a year before I got married. So now I look back and say, yes, that was the inner witness. My inner witness instantly. The moment I saw the girl. Listen, go and read my story in the book. Should I say yes? I titled the chapter, I Married the Girl I Liked. You are not spiritual. You don't know. I'm very spiritual. It's you that don't understand the meaning of spirituality. Spirituality is not, did God speak, did I pray until my inner began to witness? That is not spirituality. Spirituality is that, just to give a practical example, all right? Not a big deal, but just a practical example. Spirituality is that my father was born in Ondo State. I was born in Ondo State. That means I'm second, third, fourth generation, seventh generation Ondo State man. Amen? Her father was born in Delta State. Somewhere, which one of those riverine areas, Sha? Anyway, she's from Delta State. And, like, listen to this. Oh, God, what I'm going to say is that she's from Delta State. But it did not cross my mind that we are not from the same place. That is the will of God. My inner had been witnessed to. Are you getting what I'm saying? My inside had been witnessed to that certain things are crap, nonsense, when you're talking to God. What I did was to purify my spirit of defilement. Defilement of spirit is that, one day I was talking to one of my aunties. She said, where is she from? Then I said, no, Delta, I will not agree. You have to marry from Ondo State. I said, in fact, maybe I should marry from Owo. He said, yes. In fact, maybe I should come to Enugu. That's our own region there. In fact, maybe I should look for a second cousin. Maybe everybody will be happy. I told her, auntie, you should know the difference between when you are being asked your opinion, when you are being informed of something. My wife used to think I was a very, very, very hard person. But that's how come I bought her peace of mind. She knows. I told my auntie, there's a difference between when I'm asking you what you think and when I'm informing you of what I have thought and have concluded concerning. If you don't like it, don't come for the wedding. I told my mother, want your sister very well. He's very last now. She was just joking. I said, if it's a joke, you should stop it. Kind of nonsense joke is that one. What am I going to say? There are some visible stick in their heads. And I want to wait for their inner to witness. Of course, you start witnessing all kinds of things. We say, what is the will of God? The will of God is not, should I marry for or not? The will of God is that will I agree to marry a woman that's not from my place? The will of God is that will I understand what God has said? The will of God is that will I receive that scripture that says, henceforth we know no woman after the flesh. A man too. If any babe is in Christ, for the single boys, she's a new creature. And if any guy is in Christ, ladies, he's a new creature. Old villages have passed away. Old tribes have passed away. That's what I'm trying to explain. If any sister is in Christ, she's a new creature. The ability to receive that totally is walking in the will of God. Back to my inner witness issue. If you can totally cleanse your mind, your spirit, your thought processes, you are purged. It's called the renewal of your mind. I can assure you of one thing. You cannot simply marry any girl you like that agrees. Of course, if he doesn't agree, now by force. Or you marry any guy that asks you and you like him. If those things are settled, I make bold to say, whether you know how to hear your spirit or you don't know how to hear your spirit, you will not miss the will of God for your life. As long as Joseph keeps away from Mrs. Potiphar, his wife is coming into his life. That's the word of God. Joseph, purify yourself of defilement by Mrs. Potiphar. And due season, what's the name of his wife again? Asenath will come into your life. That's what we're talking about. Let me not forget that we're in the school of prayer. So this is what our prayer is about. To purify ourselves of these things. That's what prayer is about. We can't focus on our problems. We ask God, okay, now, things are not working the way I think they should. So there must be something about the kingdom that is not right in what I'm seeking. Many people, business is the reason why the business won't do well. They are saying, well, maybe this newspaper business I'm doing is not good. Let me go to Indomie business. They go to Indomie, it fails. All right, maybe it's called Indomie. No, Indomie is old. Let's go to Chiki. Is it Chiki? I saw one big poster. He said, okay, Dangote has brought out the price of cement. Let's go and buy and start selling cement. Every business you go to is not working. Have you noticed you have changed businesses 3 times? 3 times you've changed businesses, you've changed location. You went to Bakiliki, you moved to Enugu. Enugu, you moved to Oka. Oka, you moved back to, you went to Asaba. Asaba, you are back to Enugu now. You have seen it's not the business, it's not the location. There is one common factor in all of these places and these things. It is you. Do you get my point? God is saying, seek first the kingdom of God. Do you get it? You get what I'm saying there? That is, all other progress in business will be added to you. So what does that mean? Settle down and think. How am I thinking about money? How am I thinking about business? What is my purpose? How do I relate with people? Do I see every customer that comes into my business as somebody that's to be milked or somebody that's supposed to be helped? What is my name like? So after 1 year in business, everybody knows they have a bad name. Who is that? Says it's Brother Jumbo. What are you doing with him? We are thinking of bringing some produce from the north to the south. Does it involve money? You want to join your money with Jumbo? Once 3 people know you like that, just know your life has come to an end. And it comes to business. Once people can't trust you, number one thing, if you are doing business in life, rush, you know, work for it. Rush towards it. Labor for it. Make sure you have a good name. Now somebody can say, where's your 5 million? Oh, it's Brother Jumbo. Okay, don't worry. Everything is okay. Not, that one. You are doing business with him with money. Well, I thank God for you, Sha. Once Christians are telling you, I thank God for you, Sha. Just know that they don't want to talk past like that. That's the reason why you have changed businesses 3 times and have been to 4 locations that has not worked. Nothing wrong with the business you are doing. It is you that is wrong with the business you are trying to do. Do you get the point I'm making? That is what the will of God is. The will of God is no. It is not, I have done pure water business. It did not work, so I'm moving to yogurt. Many people, very common, when the business will not work, they now finally move into ministry. Let me give you advice. Go back to the business. Do it well for 1 year. When it started working, come to the ministry. It is not by running from that. The reason why the business is not working is not because we are called to ministry. Sometimes it happens. But my experience now is that that's not the main thing. The business of Peter was not working. Then Jesus helped it to work. Then he called him to ministry. So my advice to you is that go back to that business, do it for 1 more year. Once it breaks through, you have a good name, you are doing well, then now pray, Lord, did you call me to ministry? If you still will come to ministry that time, then you are called. Did you hear what I said? Because when Peter cast his net and the fish was plenty, business produced, boom. Jesus now said to him, now, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. So even though your business is not doing well and you say you have believed, go back, make sure the anointing of Christ upon that business makes it flourish before you now come and start telling me that you were called to business, into ministry. Many people walk into ministry because they can't do any other thing. They start ascribing every failure to call. It's because there's a call upon my head. Listen, you know what I said? Sometimes it happens. You hear what I said? Sometimes it does what? It happens. But please assume your case is not like that. Because most cases are not like that. Number one reason businesses fail is because the hearts of people are not established in the kingdom. It is not even because of economy. In everything you do in life, make sure that you learn your own lesson in it. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. We're talking about seeking first the kingdom of God and the will of God. So I was explaining that the will of God is not okay. Should I do this or should I not do that? The will of God is, I'm a businessman. What am I pursuing? Is it money or a good name? Is it money or I want to be a blessing to somebody else? Is it money or I want to just establish righteousness? Is it money? Because for most people today, they think business is about making money. Business is not about making money. Please go and read the story of Henry Ford. The man is the best example I've seen there so far. At a point in time, he was one of the richest men in the world. But they established that I did not come here to come and make money. I came here to tell people that the way they are doing business is bad. I don't know what I heard what I said. He said, all I came to do, he said, my issue was not even about the engine. I want to make it cars, I want to make it cheap and all of that. He said, no, it's not just about the car. I want people to know that the way they are doing business is bad. That I came here, let me use my own words now, to establish righteousness. And when the man began to do his cars, he started saying, listen, I'm making cars. How come few people can buy it? How come only few? He said, it's because it's too expensive. Without any serious competition, he told his guys, we have to drop the price. How do we drop the price? He said, the more we drop the price, the more the number of people that can buy. And from who said ahead, it means he will make more money. No, he was thinking of the number of people that would be, you know, blessed. That these cars are good for everybody. But I'm selling, for those days, I'm selling now for over $2,000. Not to today's $2,000, all right? That was $2,000 of very long time ago. He said, for the price I'm selling now, how many people can afford it? So the man kept on working without competition. He dropped the price until the last I knew, the thing came as low as $700. So every day he comes to work, he's like, okay, how can we shave another $100 off this thing? He said, okay, what we can do is, at the same time, he said, men who are working should earn more money. At the same time, the man said, listen, if you are working, any money, you should have peace of mind to be able to enjoy it. So he began to develop estates where his people will stay. He said, if people are sick, they can't work. He ensured that the estates were clean. They will go around inspecting your house. And at the end of the day, what did he say? He said, I have proven to everybody that the way that they are doing business is bad. And the way I'm doing it, and the way I told them to do it, is the correct way. And the success of Ford Motor Company is the way by which I can tell them that they are wrong. Today you buy a car, they advertise it, 100,000 kilometers, 5 years warranty. He was the first to start that. Who before him, they will make a car and they want you to be coming back to them to buy parts. If the car spoils, you know, they make money. He said, no, if I make you a good product, he said, if I make a product, my name is on it. The Bible says a good name is to be desired more than silver and gold. He said, my name is on it, so my integrity is with it. So why should it spoil? The man put service centers everywhere. Say, if your Ford car spoils, drive it in there. It's my fault, not yours. Now the whole world has copied it. Now if you sell a car now without warranty, brand new, who will go near there?